The rain started before dawn, a hard drumming on the tin roof that didn't let up. I lay there in my room at Vashisht's guest house, listening to it pound, and thought about how different this was from the Delhi monsoon. That was a city being washed clean. This is a mountain letting go. The Ganga has been in spate for over a week now, and you can hear it from my window, a low, constant roar underneath the rain, like the earth itself is breathing. Today is my last full day in Rishikesh. Tomorrow, I'm heading further up into the hills, if the landslides allow. The roads to Gangotri and Yamunotri were still blocked when I checked a couple of days ago, near Uttarkashi. It's the same story every monsoon. The mountains shed their skin, and we just have to wait. So today, I want to do what I came here for. Sit with the river, watch its power, and take the pulse of this town one last time before the season turns. I pulled on my rain jacket and walked out into the gray. The streets were slick, the air thick with moisture and the smell of wet earth. The usual crowd of sadhus and backpackers was thin. Most sensible people were undercover. I made my way down to Triveni Ghat, and even from the top of the steps, I could see the water was over the lower platforms. The river was a churning, brown-green monster, pulling at the concrete edges, carrying whole trees like matchsticks. A few pilgrims were doing their morning rituals at the safety chain, but the water police were out, loud hailers crackling, telling everyone to stay back. I didn't need telling twice. There was a chai stall set back from the ghat, under a tarpaulin. I ordered a cutting chai, about 30 rupees, and stood there watching the river with a few other people. A man next to me, a local, pointed at the waterline. "See that?" he said in Hindi. "That's higher than I've seen it in 10 years. I asked him about the rafting. He laughed. "Not until the water drops by, maybe September, maybe later." So my dream of doing the Shivpuri run, the classic 16-kilometer stretch of grade 2 and 3 rapids, that will have to wait. It's not worth dying for. I sipped my chai and watched the river take the land. From there, I crossed the Ram Jula Bridge, the suspension bridge bouncing under my feet as I walked. The rain had eased to a drizzle, and the bridge was crowded with monkeys and a few brave tourists. The Ganga below was a churning highway of debris. On the east bank, I walked through the lanes of Swarg Ashram, past Parmarth Niketan, the big ashram that hosts the grandest evening aarti. Everything was quiet, the incense smoke hanging heavy in the damp air. I stopped at a small cafe, Cafe Royale, for a banana honey lassi, about 120 rupees, and sat on the rooftop watching the river through the leaves. The whole world felt suspended in the wet. I had a plan for the afternoon, a last bit of adventure before the mountains. The Nirgar waterfall, a couple of kilometers up from the Laxmanjula side, through the forest. It's a popular trek, but in the monsoon, the path is slick mud, and the waterfall is a thundering beast. I paid the entry fee. The trail was steep and the rain resumed, turning the dirt into a slip and slide. I grabbed a branch, pulled myself up a rock step, and that's when I saw it. Not the waterfall, but a flash of movement in the undergrowth, maybe 15 meters ahead. My heart hammered. I stopped, breathing hard. The jungle was silent, all sounds swallowed by the rain. Then a leopard stepped out onto the path. It was lean and muscular, its coat dark with water, its head low. It looked at me for a long, slow second, and I swear I didn't breathe. The leopard's tail switched once, then it turned and melted back into the forest, a ghost. I stood there for a full minute, heart pounding in my ears, before I moved. A local I'd met at a chai stall days earlier had warned me there were leopards in the forest here, that one had been spotted in broad daylight on the Satawala Road. I thought he was exaggerating. He wasn't. I didn't go all the way up to the waterfall. The sighting had sobered me, and the path was getting dangerous. On the way down, I stopped at a small clearing where the trees opened up and I could see the river below, brown and swollen. I sat on a wet rock for a while, watching a bird circle, trying to slow my heartbeat. The whole thing felt like a gift, a last wild moment before I traded the river for the mountains. Back in town, the afternoon was fading into a wet gray dusk. My legs were cramped and soaked, and I was hungry. I walked into the old market near the ghat and found a small, busy place called the Food Loft, crammed with locals. I ordered a full North Indian thali, dal, sabzi, rice, rotis, curd, a sweet. Cost about 220 rupees, a couple of dollars, and it was the best food I'd had in a week. the hot dal, the warmth of the rotis, the noise of the kitchen. It all felt like a grounding, a claim on life after the leopard. After the meal, I wandered back towards Triveni Ghat. The rain had stopped, leaving everything steaming. The evening aarti was underway, the priests with their brass lamps and the roar of conch shells. But tonight there was something different. The river was too high for the main platform, so they had set up on a higher one, and the flames looked smaller against the dark water. The crowd was sparse, mostly locals, the tourists chased away by the rain. I stood at the edge, watching the fire and the river, and felt a strange peace. This town has four aartis a day, and I've been to a dozen, but tonight it meant more. It was a prayer for the river, and I was part of it. I walked back to the guest house through the wet streets, the sound of the aarti fading behind me. Tomorrow, I'm heading to Jashamath, or maybe just to Srinagar if the buses are running. The landslide news is still bad, and I'll have to check. But tonight, Rishikesh feels like a closed book. The monsoon Ganga has shown me its power, and I've seen a ghost in the forest. For everything else, the rafting, the mountain passes, the next chapter of this journey along the Ganga, I'll have to wait, and I'm okay with that. One small thing before I go. If you're thinking about a trip like this, don't just rely on the apps. Talk to the people at the chai stalls, the guesthouse owners, the bus drivers. They know more than any website. And get yourself sorted before you arrive. A data sim, a few rupees for chai, a good rain jacket. Everything I've talked about, from that leopard trek to the cost of a thali, is in the episode notes. Do your homework, then let the river surprise you. Namaste. See you on the road. The rain was starting up again as I reached the guesthouse. I stood at the gate, listening to it patter on the leaves, and watched a stray dog shake itself off under a shop awning. I thought about the leopard again, its eyes meeting mine. I thought about the Ganga, still roaring in the dark. Tomorrow, the hills. Tonight, sleep. I paid my guesthouse bill for the week at Vashisht Guesthouse, around 1,200 rupees a night, less than $15. It was a good deal for a clean room with a window that faced the river. I'm in the mountains now, and the land is different. But this town, with its bridges and temples and wet, wild river, it will stay with me. The final sound was the river. It's always the river, and then the rain. I am on the bus now, heading north. The window is streaked with water, and the Ganga is still following me, a gray ribbon below the road. This is where the adventure really begins. I'll be back with you from the higher reaches, but for now, I'm just grateful for this last day in Rishikesh. The chai, the leopard, the aarti, the thali, it's all there. Go find your own. That's the episode.
I'm Arjun.
I'm heading to the hills, and I'll talk to you soon. Namaste. Until then, keep walking. The river knows the way. The bus engine rumbles, the rain continues, and Arjun's voice fades as the bus pulls away from Rishikesh.